Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. Here's your host for today, Paul Gloro.
Here we are, right in the middle of eclipse season. Spring has started. Our first eclipse happened just the other day. We've got one more coming up in just under 2 weeks. Mercury goes retrograde on Monday. It's a time. But what is this time telling us? It is a time for new beginnings. Regardless of what the sky is telling us, many of us are feeling it. Change is in the air. Hello, my loves. This is the Living Spiritfully podcast. I'm Paul Gloro. So thrilled to be here with you today. We have quite a bit to talk about before we get into the show. As you know, we have, as we always do on the final episode of the month, we've got Crystal Eves here. She's going to talk about eclipse season, gives us a little bit of history from previous eclipse seasons and what this particular eclipse season can mean for us. We've got Dr. Patricia Rennie sharing what she's doing with her group in the 60 Days of Self-Love. These are some really cool things that you could bring into your everyday life, and her participants in this program are having some huge success. So definitely listen to that. And then of course, Jackie Talley and I get together and we're talking about what it means to be youngish. Jackie has some pretty cool insights that I think you'll enjoy. Before we get into the show though, let's talk a little bit about this. As you'll hear Crystal talk about in a moment, eclipse season is here. It started off with the full moon lunar eclipse that happened on Monday, March 25th. It will end with the total solar eclipse that's happening on Monday, April 8th. And that is a new moon in Aries. Now, Aries is the start of the zodiac cycle. Aries is the beginning of the new zodiac year. Aries says, I am. And this is an important time to set intentions about how we want to show up in the world, especially for the next 12 months. If you missed the newsletter that I sent out last week, I talked about my experience with an eclipse that happened in Aries season, where my I am totally shifted the trajectory of my career, basically. I was working at the federal government, I was smoking cigarettes, didn't like who I was or how I was showing up in the world. Before I even got deeply into astrology, I just chose April 9th to start my life as a healthy non-smoker. That was the day that I was gonna stop smoking cigarettes. I did a complete overhaul of my mind and my thinking. It all started with Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life. And it turned out to be this huge shift for me. Now, at the time, it didn't seem very big, but as I look back on the astrology and the choices that I've made, I see that that time period was huge for me. And so with that, I take that and I look now at the I Am Aries new moon eclipse that we find ourselves in on April 8th. And I just know from my experience, this is a time for great transformation. So something that you want to think about over this time is the statement, I am. How do you complete that sentence? Is it always I am and then tired, or I am grouchy, or I am not enough? Or is it, I am learning something new, or I am working toward dot, dot, dot? Does your I am statement bring growth, or does it bring dread? Does it bring excitement and wonder, or does it bring anxiety and stress? So these are things that we want to look at. Again, eclipse season, it's not just about, you know, crystals and looking up at the sky and making wishes. Yes, and we deeply look inside and ask ourselves these questions. And it's that reflection that helps to unravel the stuff of our mind to help put us in the direction that we want to go. Now, to help you with that, I created a program. Now, it was a real-time spring equinox celebration session that I did called Rise Up. It is now available at 50% off for anybody that is looking for a ritual to do around this time. It's not just for the spring equinox. In fact, it would be very beneficial to do around the new moon in Aries, which happens on April 8th. Now, you can do this a couple of days before, a couple of days after. The energy is quite, is very ripe for this ritual that I've made available through Rise Up. It is very ripe to do within the first, I'd say, 10 to 15 days of April. You're really going to get the spiritual and energetic benefits of this. So if you're interested, check the show's notes because there is a link there. Like I said, it's now at a reduced rate of $20, down from 40, for you to experience on demand whenever you want. Included are some journal reflections. The actual experience itself is mindfulness, meditation, movement. We do a little bit of dance. And of course, the ritual itself that involves a lot of intention setting, some meditation, and of course, journaling. There are additional journal questions as a bonus that you will receive to take that exploration beyond. Now, on top of that, to help us kind of settle into the spring season, because spring comes with not only a change and shift in our mindset, but our bodies. And the way we eat changes around the springtime. The way we practice, our movement experiences change around this time of year. Our body starts to do different things. So I've created a program called Spring Synergy that will help us to support our bodies mentally, physically, emotionally, to support ourselves and to prepare us for this period of transformation. Now, Spring Synergy, I'm very excited for this program because it is a 6-week program where we meet twice a week for two distinct sessions. The first session is Monday nights at about 8 p.m. It's 8:05 p.m. We meet for 50 minutes, 5-0. So by 9 o'clock, you're going to be ready for bed. So on the Monday evening, we meet, and it's a combination of breath work, restorative yoga, mindfulness. There is some reflection in there. We also are doing season-specific self-care practices that will support our body and what our body is doing. You know, springtime, our body starts to cleanse itself a little bit more. It gets rid of the sluggishness of winter to prepare us for the lightness of spring and summer to come. So we're going to do some practices that help support that. I'll also offer some guidance on things that you could do throughout the day to support your body in that way. And then, so that's Monday evenings. Again, this program is available in real time and on demand. And then Wednesdays at noon or 12:05 is our Synergy Flow. Now, Synergy Flow is light intensity interval training. It is designed to get our heart, our body, our muscles, our mind, everything physically ready in an invigorating way. Unwind is nourishing, Synergy Flow is invigorating. So we're going to do things that are going to activate our muscles. Yes, we're going to work with body weight resistance. We're going to use some light resistance in our interval training. But again, it's designed to get your physical body invigorated for the spring season. It will also include some mindfulness. It'll also include some self-care practices, but that's all designed around invigorating the body. Mondays are for nourishing our body. So this program is available this coming week. April 1st and April 3rd will be a preview of these two practices, and then we start with the program on April 8th, right in time for the new moon. So if you want to check this out, go to the show's notes. There's all the information there on how you can sign up for the free preview of this program. Again, it's also available in real time and on demand. So if you can't make the real time, it'll be available for you to do not only once, you could do it as many times as you want, in that 6-week period that we are together. And of course, if you sign up for Synergy Flow or the Spring Synergy, if you sign up for Spring Synergy, you will also get a discount on my popular and very fun. I don't know how to describe it. For me, it is, I love it. We just celebrated 600 episodes with my program Arise. So we've have over 600 sessions that are available for you, and you will get that at a discounted rate of $199. That will allow you to start your day with a full cup. Self-care is important for us to go out into the world and be who we are and do what we have to do. We need to take care of ourselves. And Arise is the program that will help you do that. Every day, 30 minutes, we get our mind, our body, and our energy ready for the day ahead. So that, if you sign up for Spring Synergy, is discounted $50 off for your first 3 months of the program. So check all of that out. The information is in the show's notes. And just a reminder, this is our final episode before we go on hiatus for a period of time. We will be back in May with more episodes and a little bit of a new format of the Living Spiritfully podcast. So enjoy this episode. Like I said, we got Crystal Eves coming up, Dr. Patricia Rennie, and Jackie Talley. And I will see you all again. If you haven't done so already, check the show's notes to sign up for my newsletter to be informed of when the Living Spiritfully podcast is coming back and all the other wonderful things that I am working on to help you fall wildly in love with yourself. I love you, and we'll see you again soon.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the eclipses that are happening here. First of all, initially, you know, in Mesopotamian times, and I just discovered this recently, that math and astrology are the same age. They needed math to calculate the astronomy of, you know, what was going on, and all of that came into being back in Mesopotamian time. So when they were calculating eclipses and whatnot, what they were doing in during that time was that they were thinking that they had something to do with like figureheads and the religious leaders and things like that. So they thought that the eclipses might mean something about the kings and the figureheads and the religious leaders. And so what they would do is they would try to like do a negotiation because they thought that the stars were a message from the gods or God, or that somehow contained an omen about what was going to happen. And they would like to sort of find out what the message is. And then if it was something that they thought was negative, they would try to mitigate that if they could. So sometimes if they thought something was going to happen to the king because they decided that the omen was negative, they would substitute a dummy king in for maybe a prisoner or something like that. Because if they thought, oh, maybe the king will die, they would put a dummy king in for a short period of time and try to fool the gods. So they're always trying to like negotiate with the omens that they got. It's an interesting idea because I feel like astrologers today still do this to some extent. You know, I feel like what they do is they try to understand, you know, what might this indication be and what might be the best way to deal with it so that it doesn't bring something difficult. I've had personal experience with this where, for example, years and years and years ago, I had a young fellow who was going to jail for something. He was in the court system and he was, you know, was sort of waiting to be sentenced. He was already found guilty or no, he's being charged, but he had done the thing. So he was anticipating he was going to jail. And I said to him like, well, what would you have done if what would you gain from being in prison? And he said, well, I would definitely go back to, you know, I'd learn, because he was a young fellow and he had dropped out of school. So he said, I will learn and I would do, you know, that sort of thing. And I said, well, while you're waiting, why don't you start enrolling in school and doing these other things and see if that's what this cycle is trying to be for you. Why not circumvent the strong arming of it and then just voluntarily move in this direction? And he called me months later and he said, I enrolled in school and I'm doing that. He goes, they dropped the case. And I said, that's how interesting. So in this sense, still there is like astrologers today, myself included, really do look at life as a negotiation of sorts to say like, well, how do you make the best of the time that you're in? And how do you not fight against the reality that you're in? And it's sort of like, you know, if you go through puberty and you're a female, you know, you can, what's going to happen is that you're going to need a bra. But if you fight against this, you know, you're going to have a lot of trouble with that. You know, it's going to be difficult for you. So you might as well just go ahead and get a bra. You know, like you might as well just accept the circumstances that are unfolding because some things are just unfolding. So that's where the, you know, it's sort of the eclipse information kind of begins. And so what we want to know is, does this bear out? You know, do kings and figureheads and so on, you know, do they get affected during eclipses or are things like this occurring? In 1997, in September, we had two eclipses. We had a partial solar eclipse on the 2nd, and we had September 16th, we had a lunar eclipse. Do you guys remember anything about the 1997 September, August, September at all? Princess Diana dies 3 days before the eclipse, the solar eclipse, and Mother Teresa dies 3 days after the solar eclipse. And so, okay, that's interesting. You know, it's one case. So it could just, you know, maybe it's just a coincidence. Here's another set of solar eclipses, both in 2005, April 8th, 2005, May 4th, 2005. Do you guys know what happened during these eclipses, this period? Pope John Paul dies a few days before the eclipse and is buried on the actual day of the eclipse. And Charles and Camilla get married. They were supposed to get married on the actual day of the eclipse, and they ended up pushing it one day because of Pope John Paul's funeral, which is that's when it was held. So so there, you know, things do happen. I would say not every eclipse is taking out a world leader, but or a religious figure. You know? Like nobody would sign up for the job, right? Why is this important? Oh, the other thing that happened in this eclipse, 2005, was that Israel was going to pull out of Gaza, and it was foiled because there were two things that happened. There was two people who planted bombs that under the pretense that it was a Palestinian bomb, when in fact it was Jewish nationals who were planting that bomb in order to sort of, it was like a false flag, I suppose, or I don't know what they call it. And then there was killing of a number of 14-year-olds Palestinians. And so they had an agreement that was getting ready to go, and it stopped. So, you know, why do I mention the eclipses of 2005? Because those eclipses happened at 19 degrees of Aries. And the total eclipse that's coming this April 8th is also happening at 19 degrees of Aries. So it's our best indication of what might happen during during a 19 degree Aries eclipse. Now, there are different factors involved. There were other things going on astrologically that would flavor that time differently compared to now. But if you think back to in your own life to 2005 spring, that is your best indicator for what might be happening in your life while these eclipses are coming up for you. So that's and this is what astrology likes to do. You know, we like to say, well, okay, what happened? And do we have anything related going on again for ourselves? And I was doing some thinking about it. And in April of 2005, I was finishing up my very first book that I wrote. And then I was going to get it ready for publishing at the end of 2005. So I had to compile it all, get it all ready. And of course, I'm on the last chapter of the book that I've been writing all along with this course. So for me, there is a direct correlation between these two things. And if you think about it in your own life, maybe you will find some correlation in your experience about what was happening in 2005. I know it's not easy to remember these things. Sometimes, and unfortunately, like the iPhone didn't come out until 2006 or seven, but sometimes you can go back through your photos and go, oh, that's what I was doing during that time. But definitely that would be something that we could look at to see what this eclipse might mean for you. Now, this solar eclipse is a total solar eclipse, and it's going to be happening on the 8th of April. It should be visible in North America, and it's there's certain swaths that comes up from Mexico and up through Canada. So we should be able to see it for most of us in its totality. In the Toronto area where I am near, the eclipse will start at 2:04 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and it will peak at 3:20 p.m. And it'll be completely finished by, I think it's 4:05 or 4:06. I could have that a little bit wrong. So if you want to see it, it is the only time you're going to see one until 2099 in North America. So if you don't want to travel and go see an eclipse, then this is your best bet for seeing one. I've already got some. You have to wear the glasses so you don't, hurt yourself. But NASA, well, actually, the Dunlap Laboratory in Ontario, Canada, has a live stream of the eclipse so that if you can't see it, you can go on, you can register, and then you get to watch it as they see it, which obviously would be through their big telescopes, which would be great. We have a lunar eclipse happening before the solar eclipse, and that's going to be next week on the 25th of March, and it'll be happening at 5 degrees of Libra. The last time we had an eclipse that was close to this degree was March 29th, 2006. That's why the 2005 date is so special, because the eclipse is happening at the exact same degree as what we're going to get. Often you can't get it at the exact degree as a comparison. So the one that we had in March 29th of 2006 was in Aries at 8 degrees of Libra. But the thing is, or eight, sorry, Aries at 8 degrees, but a lunar eclipse is a full moon. So it happens on the sign and its polar opposite sign. So it was happening at 8 degrees of Libra, and it was also happening at 8 degrees of Aries. So that might be a good comparison if you're looking to see what that was about for you and what you might be able to anticipate for this one. I was looking for through the archives of like news to see what was happening in the news during this time, and what I saw, nothing, no big figureheads, nothing happening there, but there were a lot of protests, union negotiations and union protests that were happening during that particular eclipse in March of 2006. Okay. And one more thing I just wanted to talk about briefly is that we do have a Mercury retrograde starting today. So it's not the actual retrograde. The retrograde starts April 2nd and goes until April 25th. But what happens, if you're not familiar with a retrograde, when it's like the planet is moving backward in the zodiac, and it has to do with the fact that it might be on the other side of the sun to us, or we're passing it in the orbit, or something like that. So And so it looks like it's going backward in the zodiac from our geocentric perspective on Earth. So what happens is that a planet that normally goes in a straight line very quickly through some area hovers for a longer period of time. So, for example, it would normally take Mercury, when it's going direct, it would normally take it a few weeks to just go this distance. But what's going to happen is that it drags on for 6 weeks as it 6 to 8 weeks as it goes hits. It hits 15 degrees, goes all the way to 27, comes back to 15, and then goes back. So what that amounts to in astrology is that some of the things that you were dealing with or you are dealing with starting today may come up repeatedly during the retrograde. So you'll hear lots of things on like social media about, oh, well, it's a horrible time to sign a contract, or it's nasty time to make a purchase. And it's not really the case. What it means is that there you might have a multi-stepped situation going on. So, like for example, if you put an offer in on a house and then they sign back. And then you sign back. And it sort of just goes back and forth and back and forth for a while. Then that can be what the retrograde represents, is a period of time where we're dealing with the same thing but in different iterations each time. So we have this starting. So you can imagine that stuff that's happening today, March 19th, may come back into your experience April 25th in some way. So I'm hoping that I won't be sick again. But for me, I had a wonderful dream about my dad last night,
Awesome.
and remember he passed, so it was a lovely dream. And so maybe, and this is around his memorial, right in here, a couple of days around his memorial. So maybe it'll be a really lovely experience. It was certainly lovely in the dream. So there is like a connection between these dates and times, and anything that you're working on might be, might take a few, you might have to have a few steps. So that's why people say, cross your T's and dot your I's, because sometimes if you have to take another stab at it, it's because an error was made. But if you're entering into a situation that necessarily would have a few steps to it, then this would be very appropriate. All of the retrogrades that are happening this year are going to be in fire signs. So we have a fire Mercury year essentially, and which means that there's a lot of enthusiasm going on this year. Yeah. So those are just the pieces of what's happening that I wanted to talk about.
We are now here with Dr. Patricia Rennie and Dr. Pat. Okay, first of all, hi, I love you. So happy you're here.
Happy
6 weeks
spring,
of
Paul.
self.
Happy spring.
Oh, officially, I like, isn't this great? You're gonna get into your garden soon if you haven't already, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've started my inside garden. I haven't started my outside garden, but I'm like dying to do that. So.
I love that. And of course, you're just going to have an abundance of so many great things growing in your
Oh, I hope
garden.
so. I hope so. I hope that we have a great summer like we had a really easy winter.
Well, I kind of don't because I don't want the giant bugs that are going to come with the easy winter that we had. But here we are.
Yeah.
Speaking of where we are, you are currently in the middle of, or just past the middle of, 6 weeks of self-love.
6 weeks of self-love. So this is an online community that my colleague Dr. Kathy Kindersman and I started March the 5th was our first meeting. So we have 28 of our patients online with us, 27 women and one lonely, brave man. So it's really great. So we modeled it after the 60 days of self-care that Kathy and I did in the fall, which was really a modified kind of more naturopathic version of 75 hard. And then, some people were like, wow, that seems like a lot. That seems really hard. So we sort of did a a gentler version of 60 days of self-love and turned it into 6 weeks of self-love. So 42 days instead of 60. So it's a little bit shorter. And we're having people do, they didn't really know what they were getting into when they signed up, because we, I was like, if you tell them, then they won't come, right? So we're having them do six things. No alcohol, no refined sugar, a little bit of honey or maple syrup if you need it. 2 liters of water. When Kathy and I did, we did 2.5. An hour of exercise every single day, but we're not putting any limits on where you do it, how you do it, what you do. Just move your body for an hour. It could be 15 minutes four times, could be 30 minutes twice, or just go out and walk for an hour, whatever works for you.
Love it.
Journaling. So Kathy and I did affirmations when we did ours. I'm still doing my affirmations every day that I started back then, but this is just an opportunity, either early in the day, at the end of the day, just either some gratitude. What was the highlight of the day? What was the most difficult part of the day? What, you know, just whatever's coming up for people.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one is a little bit different, because one of the focuses for the 6 weeks is getting enough good quality sleep. And so I was like, how do we get around that? And I realized we need to ask people to turn off their phones an hour before bed and not touch it for at least 15 minutes first thing in the morning.
And love that.
Originally I was like half an hour in the morning, and then it was 20 minutes, and then we settled on 15, because I know that some people have early days and they have to get going and what. Okay, so that's fine. But the pushback on that one the first week was like, whoa. And I have to say, you know, because, you know, we've done different things around this, and the first five things, there's nothing earth shattering about these things. It's about doing them all every single day, mm-hmm. and being committed to a group of people that you know is trying to do them all every single day, right? That's the big thing. But that first night when I, because you got to kind of work backwards, right? Like you can't leave your phone on to 11 and then have to stay up for an hour. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to turn off my phone at 9 o'clock because I want to be in bed by 10, 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
It was so liberating. It was. And, you know, like I'm not even I don't think I'm a huge phone person, but the time that it really like clicked for me was last Sunday night, because I watched the Oscars and I always have my phone beside me. I'm like, oh, who's that actor? What else was he in? What movie? And after 9 o'clock, when I took it in the kitchen and I plugged it in, and I literally sat on the couch with my arm going like this 10 times before it clicked in that there's nothing there to grab. It's such an automatic habit.
Yeah.
And to turn it on first thing in the morning too, right? And everyone said, oh, it's my alarm. Well, get it out of your bedroom. It shouldn't be your alarm clock. And so part of this around sleep is the exposure to the blue light, of course, but mm-hmm. it's also, and maybe even this may even be a bigger factor than the blue light, is depending on what notifications and things you have on your phone, like all my emails are there, all my texts are there, so the second you look at it, you get cortisol spiking either first thing in the morning when it shouldn't be, or at night when it should be settling down, mm-hmm. and all these hormones start pouring out. So I think I'm going to tell everyone in my life, like, if you need me after 9 o'clock, call my husband.
Yeah.
Because this is something I can carry forward.
Or better yet, wait until tomorrow, 30 minutes after I wake up.
After I get up.
Then yeah. I'll get to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? That is amazing. And that light thing, because I've been doing a lot of focus on circadian rhythm, especially before the time change. I've been telling people, like, weeks leading up to that, slowly creep everything up in your life by an hour, so that when the time change comes, you're not like freaked out about it. Your system's not completely thrown out. But so looking into circadian rhythm, and that light really has an effect on it. Even though we think it's the small, even if you turn it down, it's the blue light, it's all the colors that come out of that are not so good.
Yeah. And we, you know, we have not genetically been programmed for this, right? Like what has happened so quickly in such a short period of time, that exposure, and it's literally become, you know, I think 4 years ago made sure that it became an appendage for every single person to have that, right? You know, the few people that are still offline, I'm like, how are you doing that? That's
right. So how is the general feel of everyone? You had some pushback, but overall, where is everybody now with their journey?
So it was really interesting because the people who gave the most pushback in the first week, by the follow-up the second week, were like, oh my God, it went so much better than I thought it would go. This is easier than I thought it would be. Oh, my husband, who is the issue because he's got his phone on in the bed, agreed to do this with me. He agreed to, you know, because that was the big one. Like, people don't live in islands. People live in communities with family members and they can't control the other people. But when what you're doing that's positive pulls the other people along with you, that is super exciting for us, because that was just like, it was a real aha moment for a few people that, oh, I can have an influence here and I don't have to nag about it, right? It's just, we'll do it together. That was my best moment, right?
Love that.
So we're really focused a lot on, we're giving everybody like a couple pages of handouts in advance and references if they want to dig deeper into some of the things we're talking about. And then a lot of the info comes from Peter Attia, either his podcasts or his website or his book.
And for the listeners that are listening and not watching, you're holding up Outlive, The Science and Art of Longevity. This is the book.
So Peter Attia is a medical doctor and we love him, but he's still a medical doctor, right? Like he's really been diving into longevity for decades probably now. And he does he reads all the research and he has a great, the best thing about his podcast is there are, as well as yours, is that there are no commercials. So you don't feel like you're being sold something all right. the time. And there's some really great, some of them are a bit sciencey and a bit deep and whatever, but there's some really great information there. So we don't agree with everything he says. And because he's not a naturopathic doctor, he doesn't have that focus, right? But he has a lot of really good information. And then the other big resource we have is Atomic Habits by James Clear.
And so amazing book.
You know, the first time I looked at this, because my husband bought this book long before I heard about it. And I picked it up and I flipped through it. And I was like, like, what's new here? Like, anybody can start a habit, anybody. And then the second time through, I went, okay, now I get it, right? Mm-hmm. He has over 2 million people getting his newsletter every week. Like, it's the most widely read newsletter in the world. So the whole second week, we talked about what are the habits that you have now? What are the habits that you want to have? And what are the habits that you want to get rid of? And how do you go about doing that? Because here we just took these 28 people and said, okay, as of tomorrow, these are all the things you're supposed to do. That's not how we typically create or maintain a habit, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of getting peer pressured into it, which is the benefit of having a community, as you know. Mm-hmm. But the idea that, you know, hopefully they will be able to carry some of these things forward, or at least in some form. So just having that sense of, oh, and of course I have, this also came from you. This is a different version, but I have my beautiful habit tracker that we sent to everybody.
Love it.
So they can kind of have a way of, you know, checking each day off and knowing that they're on track, right?
Yeah.
So it's been really good. I think, it's exciting. It's exciting to influence more than one person at a time, right?
Right.
And to have the time to be able to go deeper into things that you really don't have time to do in a one-on-one half-hour appointment. Mm-hmm. And then over time, you can tell, you know, the people who are introverted and shy, they just sit there, they don't say anything, but you can start to see the personalities of people coming out, and then people are getting more brave and saying things or putting things in the chat. So that I think is really good for people to see that, oh, I'm not the only person struggling with this, or that was a good idea, I'm gonna copy that because that's helpful.
Yeah,
because we have our ways of looking at things and thinking about
it's things. True. Yeah. Well, and that's one of the big things. It's that community aspect. And that's what I love about my Arise program is, yes, we do the 30 minutes of the movement, but we have the Sunrise Social after where we talk about the things and then people start to interact and like, oh yeah, that works. That doesn't work. I'm not the only one. And it's that community part that helps with the sustainability of what it is that you're doing. Because I know if left to my own devices, I will easily choose to not do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was interesting because when I was making up the notes for habits, the definition of a habit is a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is difficult to give up, nearly or completely involuntary. And now that I walk for an hour every morning, like that is nearly or completely involuntary, and I don't want to give it up. Mm. But a year ago, like when you and I were together last April, if you told me that I would be walking for, like I would see patients that I was like, how do you have time to walk for an hour every day? Like, how do you fit that in? Okay, well, now I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's amazing. So
you can see how, you know, I like to use the example of smoking because everybody understands it and knows how addictive it is for some people and how hard it is to give up. But you can also put in a positive habit and make it really hard to give up. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Oh, Dr. Patricia Rennie, I love this. And I love your insights as always. So how much longer do you have of the 6 weeks of self-care?
We have a couple more weeks. So I'll just tell you so those were the six things we asked people to do. But so the first week was intro, the second week was habits. And then we did a week on nutrition for longevity, a week on exercise for longevity, a week on sleep for longevity. And then we'll be doing, it's really a focus on community or what we call posse. Like who are the people that you can call when you're having a bad day? That you can share whatever with. And then the last week is going to be the, you know, the summation, like, what did you learn? What are you going to carry forward? What would you do differently? So that'll be really fun.
That's exciting. And then this is going to be something that happens regularly.
Yeah, hopefully. We're also hoping that we'll be able to sort of funnel this into the like longer kind of retreats that we do where we're able to take more time and go deeper with people. Because like Kathy and I look at each other all the time as like, number one, we have so much stuff in our head and it's all getting mumbled and jumbled, but we've been through this stuff over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it takes a while for people to really get it all and incorporate it into your life. So it's not a one-shot deal. It's really a lifestyle that you can maintain over, like literally for you and me, we're talking about decades of our life. Like what are the positive things we can do now to be able to do the things that in our minds we want to be able to do in our 80s and 90s? Because if we're not set up for success now, those things are not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. And I love the work you're doing in the world. Thank you so much. Listeners, check out all the show's notes for Dr. Pat's contact info. And then check out Ginkgo and Sage Vitality on the Instagram. They'll keep us up to date with how your 6 weeks of self-love is going. And I love that. And I hope that the 30-ish people that you have in there will continue this and it'll be a lifetime of self-love.
Yay.
I love you. We're going to see you next month talking a little bit about spring and getting our bodies ready for the season.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
I love it. We'll see you then. We're sipping our morning brew. And I mean, Jackie and I saw each other in Arise. We were wearing something completely different. We went out, I uploaded Arise, I came back, turned on our cameras, and both of us are in like a shade of, well, I mean, I'm purple, you're pink, but I love that we both are putting on our spring t-shirts or spring tops.
Yeah, we're springing out. Yeah.
We're springing out. Today is officially the first day of spring that we're recording this. This is coming out a week later. Mm-hmm. And you look gorgeous in pink.
Thank you.
A little pink lady. Tell me about this t-shirt you're wearing, because it says youngish on there.
The t-shirt says youngish, and I just love that word. And I saw a friend of mine wearing it, and she's using it at her fitness center as incentives for women to continue their weight training. So you don't win it unless you've done, you know, your 2 days a week or 3 days a week or whatever she has asked them to do. And when they do that, then they get the t-shirt. But I talked her into letting me buy one because I just love youngish, and I'm going to wear it today to celebrate spring.
I love that. I really do. Oh my gosh. And there's so much that I want to talk about there, because we're finding more and more studies, the importance of resistance training as we become more chronologically advanced. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was looking, in yoga and in Pilates, we've always said you're only as young as your spine is flexible. And I saw something recently on the Instagram that talked about movement of the spine. And we did that in Arise today. And in Ayurveda, which is yoga's sister, Ayurveda is the science of nature, yoga is the science of mind and body. In Ayurveda, they believe we don't age because we get older, we age because we dry out.
Ah.
And so that movement of the spine is what keeps the spine young, because of the fluidity of the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and we've talked to, actually, this is all tying into everything that we've talked about this week in the Sunrise Social with don't let the old lady in, or don't let mm-hmm. the old man in. Mm-hmm. So I love this. What's your secret, or not secret, because you're going to share it with everyone on the podcast, but what do you do to stay youngish besides wearing these fabulous t-shirts?
Well, I really think, you know, someone looking from the outside who knows me might think differently, but I believe that I can stay youngish by maintaining my, and I hate to call it work, but my schedule. I have a routine. I have my schedule. I have plans for every day. And, you know, that might sound overwhelming to some people who rather just rest or take it easy, but I feel like all of that I just said creates energy. So I get up every morning, I do a rise, and that's just a part of my routine. And by the way, tomorrow will be number 600.
I know. Can you believe that?
And so that's a lot of days, and it's some years and that I've been with you. So I get my day started that way. And I have a plan. I know where I'm going. I know what I'll be doing. And at the end of the day, I come home and I feel like, well, I did something. I helped some people, and I helped myself. And I can't imagine not having that sense of accomplishment or purpose. And so I think that's what keeps the old lady out of my life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, do you give yourself the opportunity? And I'm asking you for the listeners, how do you give yourself the opportunity to rest when you need it?
One day last week, I canceled a class that was easier to cancel because I had a cold, or we're having pollen season here, and everything is green. And so when I see that pollen on the car, I see it inside my nose and my throat and everything. Anyway, I was not feeling well, so I said I won't be able to come today. So, and I didn't feel too bad about that. but the other thing is that I have accustomed myself to the schedule that I have now, and I have worked rest into, for instance, yesterday I finished a class around 11, I come home, I take a short nap, eat something, take a short nap, get up and go teach another class. So I have the rest and the eating and all that worked into my schedule.
Oh, good. Good. Mm-hmm. And naps are important.
Oh, maps are wonderful.
Yeah. As a movement professional, I especially at Tuesdays and Thursdays are my heavy movement days. I need a little pause in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that's important. And I don't feel guilty about that at all. I
No.
need it. It's a part, it's just like eating or drinking water. I have to have that.
Yeah, it's a part of our job.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that. Now, because one of the things that we, and if you're open to talking about this, but one of the things that you mentioned was one of the challenges that you find as you accumulate more years and experience on this planet, there's fewer people in your age range that are in the same headspace as you are. Are you open to talking a little bit about that?
Yes, it is frustrating that the people my age, let's say women that maybe I would want to go to a movie or go to a concert, and they're either physically or mentally just not up for that. So I have a group of friends who are maybe 10 years younger who are still able to drive and walk. And we can meet up somewhere and maybe have a meal and then go to a concert. And so I try not to think about those over here because I know we're going to all get there. But it is frustrating to me and sad in a way that the girlfriends my age, many of them are just not able to get out and do things with me.
Now, so because I'm just like, I mean, what is, I don't even know what I'm trying to, what kind of question I'm trying to ask. It's like, to me, I remember like one of the early affirmations that I would use is I'm fabulous at any age. I've talked about this story before. When I was like 21, friends used to be like, "Oh, we're so old." And I'm like, "What? Like we're just getting started." And like I even feel like now at like 42, it's like I'm just getting started. So, but then also I look at my like I remember in high school, I would hang out with the older kids. I had older sisters, so I always felt like I was, and all my cousins were older than me, so I always hung out with older people. But now I have like such a, I have friends that are in their 50s and 60s. I have you in your 80s. I've got friends, not as many because I don't know the reason for this, but I've got, friends that are younger in their 20s and 30s. So, like, how important is it to you to have people that are in a similar age bracket? You know what I mean?
Well, we have a shared history music of what was happening when we graduated from high school, college. We have that commonality. Your dog looks so cute.
Do you hear him growling for me? He's like, "Why are you still talking? We gotta go for our walk." I'm sorry,
Yeah,
Jackie.
and I have two cats who are
They're
bothering
doing the same.
me. Yeah, so we have that same sameness in our history, but then again, I've been able. It was kind of shocking in the beginning when I realized what was happening with this split, this different, this gap. But now I'm kind of over that, and I'm moving on. Like I can't wait. I can't slow down. Does that make sense?
Totally does. I just had a picture in my head of if we lived in the same part of the world, we would be going to those concerts together on the weekends and going to the movies. Although I'm not a movie person, my partner just does not like this about, well, he loves everything about me, but this is one of his least favorite things. I don't do movie theaters. It's not my thing. And I don't do movies because I fall asleep, but I will go to a concert with you
And sing,
and sing and dance.
dance, yes, that would be fun. We you would be my perfect companion for that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love you.
Yeah, I love you, Paul. You're like my brother, my son, my, I don't know, you're my other person.
Oh, I love that. I love being your other person. You're one of my besties.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
So Jackie, this is our final episode of this season. We're taking a little hiatus through the month of April, and then we'll be back in May. I get to see you because tomorrow we're going to celebrate your 600th session of Arise, which I wasn't even keeping track. And now that it's like 600, that's like we're coming up to 3 years. Well, we're in our third year right now.
Yeah, we
That's
are.
amazing. But I'll still get to see you every morning in Arise. And then you'll be back on the show in some form when we come back in May.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yes.
And I love you so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you for being here
Too.
with us. And
Yes.
listeners, thank you for being here with us on this journey. Like I said, we're taking the month of April off, and I'll be back in May with some more of the Living Spiritfully podcast. Love you all.
Thank you.
The Living Spiritfully podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.